Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 11. 1 Peter chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 11. Title of our thoughts today is 1 Peter, Conclusion. This letter was written by the Apostle Peter close to the close of his life at about AD 60. There are two thoughts as to where Peter met his death. In 1 Peter 5:13, it would lead one to believe that he was ministering in Babylon as he writes, "The church that is at Babylon saluteth you." Others believe that the word Babylon was a code word for Rome, and tradition has it that both Paul and Peter were martyred for the faith in Rome. Well, it doesn't really matter where he passed on, but what he did during his life. The epistle was intended principally, though not exclusively, for Hebrew Christians. But I can tell you this, that we as Gentiles need to read the epistle and enjoy what it has to say. It was written for two purposes. First, to show that Peter agreed with Paul's teachings, and second, to strengthen and comfort God's people passing through fiery trials. And we realize in our world today that many are suffering for the cause of Christ because of their testimony. It was and is a book of comfort. And folks, during this time of our lives, we need to have comfort. And it's good to know that we can find it even in the book of 1 Peter. The writer of this epistle needs no introduction. And it is in fulfillment of our Savior's exhortation and commission found in Luke chapter 22, verse 32, which says, "But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted or repented, strengthen thy brethren." And in writing this short epistle, he was encouraging them and strengthening them. Peter writes to comfort and strengthen his Christian brethren passing through a time of sore trial and bitter persecution. Nothing that we understand in any way, shape, or form. We can read about it, but we don't understand what it is like to be chased out of our homes to go to another place for our safety. We don't know what it's like to be arrested and beaten because we have a faith in Jesus Christ. It is rich, so rich with stored counsel, warning, and consolation that commentators greatly prize this short epistle. Acts 4 and verse 13 says of Peter and John, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." What a testimony that they had been with Jesus. As you stand and we read verses 1 through 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1, do people know that you've been with Jesus? Can they tell that your lifestyle is such that you are a follower of Christ? Beginning at verse 1, 1 Peter. "Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we ask your hand at this time to direct and guide. We pray, Lord, that thy will be done. asking this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. To the strangers scattered, keeping your place here in 1 Peter, would you please turn to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, and we'll begin reading at verse 1. It's after the flood, and it says in verse 1, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.' And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech.' So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence among the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. From thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth." The earth's population is just short of 8 billion people. That's a little more than what we have here today. With these nearly 8 billion people come many different ethnic groups, many different religious beliefs, many different lifestyles, many different food styles, many different political systems, but all have one thing in common. Of the 8 billion people, all have one thing in common, a spiritual void that only our Lord Jesus Christ can fill. Amen. Now, don't ever forget that. We try to fill the void with many things, but it can only be filled and satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, question. What is the largest metropolitan community in the world? The largest metropolitan community in the world. Now you ponder that. Let me tell you that it is not New York City. In fact, the state of New York has only 19.4 million people. The one we're talking about has over 38 million people. The state of Michigan has just under 10 million people. Can you imagine living in a metroplex where 38 million people live? That's more than our state and New York combined. Now, this metropolitan community, which has over 38 million people, is the city and area of Tokyo. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been to Japan or to Tokyo, but I would imagine it must be people rubbing shoulders against each other all the time. But if you live in New York City, you would meet on a given day people from all over the world. My wife and I are graduates of Stevenson High School, 1971. When we attended there, every student there, except for 2, were European. The two were half European, and their dad had married someone while in the service. But is Stevenson that way today? They have people from all over now as students at Stevenson High School. The world has changed, hasn't it? It has changed dramatically. But the fact is, people need the Lord. Living in America does not save somebody. What they need is the Lord. You notice on your bulletin there's a help wanted sign. Do you see that? Needed men and women who are willing to go with the gospel message. Needed men and women who were willing to help them go financially. Because people need the Lord. Back again to 1 Peter, this time chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation. Who is Peter writing this to? He's writing this to believers, correct? He's writing it to born-again believers. And he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. Can I hear an amen on that, that we are peculiar? Amen. Peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Folks, this is not our final home. We're just traveling through, as the song says. We're a chosen generation. Does that make you feel good to know that God wants you? That he wants you to be part of his eternity? That you are a royal priesthood? You're set aside to be used of the Lord? That we're a holy nation? Would to God that we could say of the United States of America that we are a holy nation. But we are not. We have taken our eyes off the Lord and we've put them on many other things. And as we've already mentioned, a peculiar people. That ye should show forth the praises of him. That this is your job, to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. Folks, we live in a very dark spiritual world today. Evil is all about us, even to the point that we are calling sin okay. We just have to learn to live with it. But God says no. And he has called us out of this darkness into his marvelous light. Now, I could ask Rudy to go back to the back wall and to turn off the lights in here. Would you still be able to see? Absolutely. Because of the light coming in through the windows. But if you came here at 10 o'clock at night and there were no lights on, there would only be the light of the exit light. Can you stop the light? The light is going to be there. We need to show forth the light of God. That is our responsibility. But are now the people of God, which now have obtained mercy. Now, a lot of times when we hear that word mercy, we think of Elvis Presley and his saying, mercy. I don't know that I'm quite there. But do you ever thank God for his mercy? See, we deserve hell. You say, well, why do I deserve hell? Because of sin? Because of sin, we deserve hell. But God doesn't want us to go to hell. He wanted to provide a way of salvation, and that way is Jesus Christ. But if we do not accept Christ as our Savior, we will spend eternity in hell. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. 8 billion people that need the Lord. Greg Nelson and Phil McHugh in the early 80s wrote the song, People Need the Lord. We sing it occasionally on a Sunday night. And it goes, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, he's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize that people need the Lord? You ever thank God that you know the Lord Jesus Christ? That what a privilege it is to be used of the Creator of the universe? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. The God of this world, Satan, Lucifer, who has the power of the airwaves. Do you find that interesting? He has the power of the airwaves. What is coming over our airwaves today? Well, television, internet, your cell phones. Everything that comes in on your cell phone is worth having. We have to be careful, right? And can I encourage you that if you post things, that if you put things out there, that you do godly things? And do not be afraid to cut off things that are ungodly. You say, well, I hurt somebody's feelings. Better to hurt their feelings than have God ashamed of us. Be careful. Be careful. Let us turn to the doxology of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again as a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Can you say, my hope is in the Lord? I hope you can. That your hope is in the Lord. It better not be in the United States government. Amen. Or in our financial system. You know, I don't care how much money we throw at problems, we still have problems, don't we? What we need is the Lord. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you or for us. The greatest thing I can leave my boys and their families is the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. The greatest thing I can give them is the Word of God, because it's priceless. Who are kept by the power of God. You ever have something spoil in your refrigerator? Have you ever opened it up and you sniffed? Something isn't quite right, Donna. I always blame the wife. Something isn't right. Something is ripe that shouldn't be. And you pull back the cover on something and it's covered in white. Ugh. It is spoiled. What do you try to do with it? Get your wife to throw it out, right? Yes. Maybe you dump it down the toilet. Maybe you do something else with it. But you want to get rid of it, right? You want to get rid of it. We are kept by the power of God. Can I say this? We have a lot of people in our world today that stink spiritually. Amen. Amen. They're unsaved and unconcerned, lewd and vulgar, mean and nasty, We have a lot of people that are promoting evil lifestyles. But we need to realize that we are kept by the power of God. In conclusion, now this is the conclusion of the conclusion lesson from 1 Peter. If you would, chapter 5, beginning at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may, what? Exalt you in due time. Do you want the Lord to be able to say, now here's somebody that was really faithful? Do you? Do you want him to be able to say, here is somebody I could count on? Here was somebody that was usable. Here was somebody that was willing to do my bidding. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It's nice when somebody comes up and pats you on the back and says, well done. But wouldn't it be great to have the God of the universe say of you, well done. You served me faithfully. Notice as we continue reading verse 7, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. Isn't it interesting that the God of the universe cares for you? He knows what's best for us. Casting all your cares. We have cares in our lives, don't we? We have concerns. Probably some of you know that my wife's dog, and do you know, Donna, in Sunday school they said I had to love your dog. You agree with that? Uh-huh. Anyways, some of you know that Casey had cancer, and so they did surgery. They shaved a large area on his neck. And I wasn't there when they did it, but they obviously made a slice on the side of his neck and they went in and they took out the cancer. And it was more than what they thought it was. But they hoped they got it all. They sewed him back up. And then they called and said that he had issues with his teeth. And they removed 21 of his teeth, his back teeth. Now, I don't know how he has rationalized this since he can't chew in the back of his mouth now. How would you like to have all your back teeth removed? That'd be terrible. Now, there are two options. Donna can either handle this all by herself and say, well, I'm just going to take this, or she can give it to the Lord. Right? Now you say, a dog? Well, yeah. Because the Lord cares for us. And God created the dogs. There is a question if he created the poodles. No, I'm just teasing. Please, if you have a poodle, don't write and say, how could you say that? No, we know I am just quoting someone else. I guess I'd be careful who I quote. Yes. But do you have cares? I told the Sunday school class, and on Friday I called my dad and told him, you know, it was one of his sons. And he goes, oh, Jim. And, of course, it's always oh, Jim. And I said, no. And he says, well, don't keep me guessing. I had to tell him who I was. Do you have cares in your life? Sure you do. We think of Diane McNamara and the passing of her mother. Yes, she lived a long life, but yet there are cares when a loved one passes. We find that there are those who have financial issues in today's world. We find that there are those who are looking for different jobs. And you know, there are so many cares. Isn't it good to know that we don't have to carry them alone? That our Lord is willing to help us. He may not take them away, but he'll help us during those difficult times. As we continue reading verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Over and over again in the New Testament, we find exhortations to sobriety. And this means much more than abstinence from intoxicating drink. We can be intoxicated by pride, self-esteem, ambition, money, entertainment. Sober means watchful, sound in mind, to have self-control. Sober in what? In our thought life. That's where most of us have problems, right? Is in our thought life? Sure. In the words that we use. In our lifestyle. Does our lifestyle bring honor and glory to the Lord? Our way of thinking, our thoughts. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil. Can I say this? He's our spiritual enemy. And he wants to defeat you. He wants to control you. Now, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, he cannot indwell you or one of his evil beings, but he can influence us. And can I say this? We are being influenced in our society today because it's a very loud society. In fact, most of us are bothered by silence. You know how I know? Because if I went over here and sat down on this chair for 3 minutes, some of you would start to wonder what in the world's going on. Because we struggle with silence. But we live in a loud society. Do you ever take time to just be quiet? You and the Lord? Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may what? Devour. There is a spiritual battle going on in our world today. There is a spiritual battle going on in the United States of America today. There is a spiritual battle going on in the state of Michigan today. There is a spiritual battle going on in Sterling Heights, Michigan at 11455 Canal Road at 1147. Right now, there's a spiritual battle going on in this room. The battle for souls, the battle for control, the battle to be right with the Lord. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Can I tell you this? That Satan is not afraid of you. He's not afraid of you. Unless you're willing to live a life that is godly. Then he is concerned. Because you have influence over other people, right? Other people are watching you. Your neighbors. You say, how do you know? Don't you watch your neighbors? Huh? When they're driving in the subdivision and you're going the other way, don't you wave at them? They know who you are. They're watching. And so we need to show forth the Lord in our life. Our adversary, the master deceiver, would tell you, well, don't worry about it. Let them take care of themselves. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. The Bible continues in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. whom resist steadfast in the faith. It's a job that is daily. Daily. For by grace are you saved through faith. How is your faith today? Is it strong? Or is it based on the wrong things? Your testimony of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is priceless. People are watching. Protect it. Protect it. Share it. Treasure it. Your faith. It's precious. Protect it. Share it. Treasure it. Shall we stand together? We're going to sing a song of invitation, 375, Just As I Am. The altar is here. You can come and you can pray and you can ask the Lord for help in the struggles of life and the cares of life and protecting you spiritually. I know this, that all of us that are believers should have a desire to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen. But if we're going to do this, we must humble ourselves and allow Him to be in control. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, that your will be done. May the Spirit move and touch hearts. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.